want to get some question answered. You want to talk to the big newsmakers that happens here on KTAR. And right now it's the chief of police, City of Phoenix, Jerry Williams. Chief, welcome back.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for having me this morning.
We haven't talked in a while. There's been a lot that's gone on since last time I think we talked. You had talked with protesters and said, we're hearing you, we're listening to you. What has changed or what is changing? What differences are there now in Phoenix PD than from when these protests started?
So great question. And as you know, we've been going at this for about 100 days or so, in spite of COVID, in spite of calls for service, in spite of violent crime increases. And as usual, Phoenix PD has risen to the occasion. So we've mentioned previously, we've deployed body-worn cameras. We've made adjustments to not having the carotid control technique and policy anymore. We've made adjustments to our shooting at moving vehicles. We've made adjustments to our employee assistance and mental health partnerships. And we've also added the duty to intervene and report violations of excessive force that officers may witness. So a lot has happened and a lot's going on. But as with any police department and any agency, we do have more work to do, right? So if there's more work to do, we don't shy away from it. We have to do better with our reporting out of our data collection. But keeping in mind, Mike, we don't want perfection to be the enemy of progress. So we still want to keep moving forward and closing those gaps in order to continue to build trust in the community.
How is it being received in the community at large? How is the relationship between, because it's always been good. I've been on ride-alongs. I know you've had a great rapport with the community at large. Is it improving, and are they seeing these changes as a positive sign?
I think the majority community is seeing it as a positive sign, but if there is one person or a group of people or, you know, neighborhoods of individuals who don't have trust in the police department, I'm not just going to give up and walk away. We have to fill those gaps and try to figure out how to best engage those communities. And that takes Phoenix PD adjusting on a pivot. It takes the City of Phoenix adjusting on a pivot. And I'm really challenging our employees to do so, keeping in mind I support the men and women who put on this uniform, who answer calls for service, who work the crime lab, and they've been doing so every day without fail, and I'm so proud of them for that.
I had a guest on who is an organizer with Black Lives Matters in the Metro Phoenix area, and I asked him a few questions, and he was very critical of you. And he was very critical of the Phoenix Police Department, made an accusation that the Phoenix Police Department, because I had said we've had mostly peaceful protests in the City of Phoenix. Why is that different here than other places? And he made the accusation that the Phoenix Police Department acts out violently against them at every one of these protests. How are you able to offset the people that are understanding and critics that will never be satisfied?
So by continuing to show our transparency, so I know that you all are aware that we've been releasing body-worn camera footage. When folks come out to protest and it ends up being peaceful, we don't take any action, while at the same time, there are individuals, a very small number of them, sometimes in the group of folks who want to commit criminal acts. I can't allow criminal acts to happen in our city. So when we see other cities across the country either demolished or burned or otherwise, I think we've been able to get the word out about how important First Amendment is and free speech is, while at the same time letting people know very clearly that we cannot support violent and criminal behavior, because that takes away from the important message of the peaceful protesters. And at the end of the day, it's our job to make sure everyone is safe when they come to these protests, period.
Now, you have your feet in two boats, because at the same time, you have to deal with officer morale. And so when concessions are being made by the Phoenix Police Department, and there are officers that feel that the community, some people in the community that are behave badly toward police are still doing it, it does take a toll on morale. How do you fix that, or how do you adjust and make sure that morale stays high inside your agency?
You know, Mike, that's a question of the day, relying heavily on constant messaging to my employees about support, about being professional, taking care of them, making sure that they have the mental health services that they need, as well as maybe some days off here or there just to get their lives squared away, and being very cognizant of the fact that we're still in a pandemic and that I still have employees who have kids who are home, who are not in school, or spouses or partners who have been adversely impacted by this. But we've really been stepping up our mental health and access to mental health for all of our employees. And that's not just the sworn side, it's the civilian side too. And we've also started deploying therapy dogs. So, I mean, just those small things making a big difference, but definitely constant messaging to our employees.
I think what I hear more than often than anything else from officers is sometimes they feel like there are people, especially on the city council, without naming names, that don't have their back. And more than anything else, in, as an employee in any job, you want to feel as if your bosses have your back. How are you able to understand and make changes that you feel are necessary, but also convey to your officers that in the end, you're a cop as well and you have their back?
So, again, that goes back to constant messaging. And at the end of the day, we are to be the consummate professionals, that we are to be the ones that with every contact, every day, every moment, we are really building up legitimacy and transparency in spite of what may be happening on the political side. It's our job to be those consummate professionals and constantly message that to my command staff, to my line officers, and to all my employees.
So let me change the subject a little bit. In the midst of everything else that's been going on, your agency has been thrown in the middle of this mask enforcement debate, and you've been and businesses being shut down and cited. How is that? Is your agency responsible for citing people for mask enforcement? How are you handling that with being as overwhelmed as you are with other things?
So great question. That's like the $1 million mask public gathering violation question. So what we've done is we've worked within our current system in our Property Crimes Bureau, and we've assigned detectives, lieutenants, sergeants, and commanders to make contact with those businesses directly as opposed to sending a uniformed patrol person who's answering calls for service. So when we talk about making those adjustments on a pivot, and Phoenix PD has just been amazing, you know, for 30 years that I've been here at being able to do this, we're able to figure out ways to make things work. And if we have to issue citations, we do. If we have to issue summonses into Phoenix City Court, we've done that too. But we've always tried to communicate that message with business owners that this is, at the end of the day, this is about safety.
All right. So then let's go another side of this. We also know that the protesters for a long time were not wearing masks in the streets. We can't go back to that part. Are you doing the same with people that are protesting where if they're gathered in public and not distancing and not wearing masks, are warnings being given to people in the streets as well?
You know, maybe a conversation or two, but if you recall the governor's executive order, that was the one set aside that was listed in there, that if folks are practicing their First Amendment rights, that's not going to be something that we're going to mitigate and manage. So what we're trying to do is practice and model by behavior. My employees are wearing masks when they're out there on the ground with the individuals. And we'll just keep trying to work our way through it. It's not been easy. It's been rough. It's been tough. But at the end of the day, if we want to see change, sometimes you need to have things be a little bit challenging for you.
Chief, it's always good to talk to you, and I always appreciate your willingness to come on and talk to the audience. I know it means a lot to them to kind of get information straight from you, so we do appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, and you guys have a great day.
You too. That is Chief Jerry Williams, Phoenix Police Department. And on top of everything else that the city is dealing with you know, trying to maintain that balance and still do the job of a police officer, people exercising their First Amendment rights, they get thrown this curveball of mask and closure violations. I can't imagine that there is a cop, I don't care if you're command staff or in a patrol vehicle, that wants to go into a business and write some kind of a citation or a warning to a business owner. I just hate that the cops are put in this position. It's got to be just something they don't want to do in their everyday jobs, but they're doing it anyway. So I'm always happy to talk to the chief. I think that she should be one of the people consulted nationwide, not just for the job Phoenix PD has done, but for her unique perspective on all areas of this. She's got a very unique perspective, and I know it's not been an easy job, so I thank the chief always for being willing to come in and share and talk about what they're doing at Phoenix PD.